must decrease and you must increase. Because it's all about you, Jesus. Oh God, how I pray this morning that we will take that kind of attitude and travel wherever we are by giving glory to the Son of God who came for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. And in dying, He brought life. And we thank You that that life has spread to all those who believed in His name and received Him. And to those who believed in Him and to those who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a husband's will or decision, but children born from above. We thank You that we are Your children born from above. And we pray that we may listen to the God who speaks from above, but more importantly, speaks through His word and speaks into our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, it's a joy to be able to open God's word and share with you. So will you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're dealing with who am I and what am I called to do as a Christian. And so we said that as a Christian, I'm called to do many things. And specifically in chapter 6 and verse 9, as a Christian, I am called to be in submission to Christ. But more importantly, that submission is, if I am an employer, I submit myself to the Heavenly Master. We're going to look at that. We looked at various things. 2 weeks ago, we moved from submission within the context of the family and home to submission at the workplace. And we dealt quite extensively with the word slaves, and more importantly, how we as employees must view work. Okay? Work is good. Agree with me? Work is absolutely good. And after a hard day's work, how good it is to come. Kick off your shoes, relax, and say, love, bring me a cup of tea. No, you take the tea yourself. But it's good. It's wonderful to come and just relax because it is satisfying. Work is good. Work is of God. So God created work. When God created Adam, He didn't say to him, Adam, now you must have, you must just leisure now, just sit, relax, put your feet up and sleep all day. No, God created him for work. Problem is in Genesis 3 is that the only reason why work is so hard is because Adam disobeyed God and brought all kinds of difficulties within that. But work is good. So I believe that within the context of heaven itself, there's going to be work. And it's going to be good and it's going to be enjoyable as we look at it from Genesis. But work is also something that we look forward to in terms of rest. You will rest from your labors. Now that doesn't mean inactivity. That doesn't mean, you know, lying in an horizontal position. That means rest from all that we have been, that sin has brought into the world, and strife as a result of sin. We will rest from all that. I was at a funeral yesterday. One of our members in Trinity Chapel, Durban, Caroline, her mom passed away. Peter Vessels was our minister and he preached. It was interesting that he quoted Randy Alcorn, one of the books that I'm reading about heaven. And he said, as he quoted this, what is not going to be in heaven? Okay? What is not going to be there? There'll be no more crying in heaven. No more tears. And he quoted a whole list of things that is in the book of Revelation. But the interesting thing there as well is that there will be activity in heaven. Now today I want to continue with this, with submission at the workplace. And this time I want to focus on Christian bosses or employers. Now, we don't have too many of those bosses within our church context in terms of you owning your own company and being a CEO or director of a company. I suppose you would say, you know, this kind of message maybe is good for Christchurch Umhlanga, where all the CEOs and directors and all those people are. But I want to change your mindset on that just now. Friends, it is not easy to be a boss of a company or a boss in supervising people within a company. There is a certain code of ethics that every employee and employer must subscribe to. Unfortunately, the world of business is rough and tough. High demands are placed on both employees and employers. Employees are expected to give an honest day's work, and employers are expected to make sure that they get an honest day's work from their workers. And that does not mean that Christian employers must be so soft that their good nature is taken advantage of. There is a certain degree of authority that comes with the position of being called a boss or a CEO or an executive director. On Monday, I was invited for supper at Vivegan's parents' homes. I always love that when people invite me for supper. Get to know people more intimately and personally. And I was sitting with two medical doctors around the supper table when the conversation turned to work. And it was a general conversation of how bosses or directors of companies employ workers with the aim of exploiting them. And so that they can produce a high profit. So there's always, there's an end to the means. And at the same time, these company directors will pay millions. That's how the conversation was basically going. Pay millions to sport heroes for advertising campaign, sometimes handing large sums of money over to help the poor through these sporting legends, like, you know, Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo. These are the kind of people that get the money to help people. And yet, these very same companies or bosses pay their workers a pittance of a salary. That same money that is handed to great stars that I just mentioned can be given to their workers as a decent salary so they can educate, clothe, and feed their children. And that's the crux of the general thinking that happened around the supper table before we moved on to other subjects. And these are the injustices, friends, that happens within the corporate companies and large businesses who use money to promote their image as a company through sport heroes rather than offering it to workers to build and uplift the community from grassroots level up. And so as we come to the subject of the matter of submission, The Bible says in verse 9a, if you look at the scriptures there in chapter 6, it says, treat your workers or employees with respect. Okay? And I'll read it again. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. See, respect is earned and cannot be demanded. I cannot come to you and demand that you respect me. I've got to earn your respect for me to respect you, right? Now, today's text says, masters, employers, bosses, directors, CEOs, chief executive officers, treat your workers in the same way. Now, what does Paul mean when he says to the corporate bosses and directors and CEOs of companies to treat their employers in this, or employees, sorry, in the same way? I believe what Paul is saying is that obedience to Christ is not only expected from Christian employees or workers, not only expected from civil servants and corporate staff, but it is equally expected from Christian bosses. Have a look at verse 5 of chapter 6. It says there, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Now, if obedience to Christ is expected from my workers, then the same is expected from my bosses. Respect and fear of the Lord is a prerequisite from every Christian employer and employee. Why? Have a look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. So as a boss and as a director of my company, my reward is from God. I had a conversation with one of the members of this church who shall remain nameless and who is a factory worker. And the boss of the company he works for found out that one of his faithful workers was struck with cancer. His boss took pity on his fellow worker as he began to witness the aggressiveness of this cancer wreak havoc in his body. This worker died soon thereafter. The boss of this company, I was told, not long after this worker died, was also struck with cancer. Now, being the director, he was able to spend over R1 million on a cure for bone marrow cancer. Looking for a cure. And the treatment and so-called cure did not work. And the boss died soon thereafter. You see, with all the money at his disposal, no cure could be found to lengthen his stay on earth. You've got to remember, brothers and sisters, that from the time that we are born, we are all dying. We don't know when we will die, but we will at some point. And sickness, disease, and death, he's no respecter of persons. No matter how rich or how poor you may be, sickness and disease finds a way of targeting one's body. And the big question that we all grapple with is, Are you, am I in a right relationship with God? And are you listening to what God has to say to you through His Word? We had a funeral here on Friday, which many of you won't know of. And it was a young man, 42 years old, unemployed. He was struck with a heart attack, collapsed and died. It was sad, you know, when they came in and tears and all that kind of thing. But friends, sickness and death is no respecter of person, whether you're an employer or an employee. Today, God's word is specifically talking to Christian masters, employers, directors, CEOs of this church and God's church and God's world. And what is God's word saying to them now and at this specific time? Well, have a look at verse 9 again. Treat your workers justly and fairly. Let's look at verse 9 and read that. It says, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And there is no favoritism with your master who is in heaven. So God's word is clear. Yes, you may be the boss of your company and the boss of your workers. Yes, you may have the authority and the power to do as you please. But remember this, there is a boss that is higher than you. And his name is Jesus. Amen? He's in heaven and he will judge justly. There is no favoritism with him. Whether you are the Queen of England or whether you are the President of South Africa, he is your master. Whether you accept him as Lord or not, he is still Lord of the heavens and the earth. Have a look at Colossians 4:1. It'll probably appear on the screen for you. And let's see what it is saying to Christian bosses. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Provide or give your workers what is right and fair. And some of you may be saying to yourselves, well, preach it, Bishop. The masters, the bosses, the directors, the CEOs need to hear this. Now, may I say this and bring it right down to you and I? You may or may not know this particular fact. You may be thinking I'm speaking to employers who are bosses out there of big companies. Let me speak to you. You are seated here. And myself. You know, you become a master or a boss when you employ a maid or a gardener. Amen? I'm not hearing any amens. How do they address you? Surely, they will address you as their boss or their master. You know, when I park my car at a shopping mall and or a supermarket parking, there are people who say, as soon as I park my car, get off, clink, click, you know, make sure my car is sitting. Car guard will come. I will look after your car, boss. Makes you feel good, isn't it? Guy calling you a boss. You probably give him an extra tip.
maybe.
But can you see how it is viewed within the context of the guy who is working and is hoping to get some money out of you? So by calling me a boss, they're expecting me to pay them for a service rendered. Do you get that? They are right for calling you their boss because you are paying them. Ask yourself the question, do you pay what is equitable and fair? And you know we're in tough economic times and everything else, and we want to budget and we want to get the cheapest labor and everything else. But do you really look at the situation and pay what is fair and think about the person that is coming to work for you and how much they pay for bus fares and how much they do this and blah blah blah, and the time that they take off all that, what is left with them? What is equitable and fair? Do I pay what is right? So when the word of God turns and points to me, I become uncomfortable. Now, I'm not here to lay a guilt trip on your consciences. I'm simply pointing out that when God's word calls us to act, we must act in obedience to his word. You know, last week, John preached from Exodus chapter 5. And we were confronted in this passage with a master who had no regard for his workers, or for God for that matter. I mean, have a look at Exodus chapter 5 and verses 6 to 10 and verses 15 to 18. It'll come up on the screen. The same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you any more straw. Can you imagine that? Here's a guy who has no compassion for the people that are working for him. Nor does he have any authority or any respect for the God they serve. Verse 15 to 18. Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh, why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are. Lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. Pharaoh, the master, the king, the chief CEO of Egypt, treated God's people with contempt. Pharaoh was ruthless, faithless, heartless, and reckless in the handling of his workers. And God's word reminds Christian bosses today not to threaten their workers in Ephesians 6:9. Do not threaten them with short time if there is enough work. Do not threaten them with overtime without pay. Do not threaten them with termination. If you don't like the job, find another job. Do not disrespect them by using foul and dirty language. Do not insult them because you are more educated than them. No. This is how the pagan bosses treat their employees. Their consciences does not bother them when they worship before their gods. Why? Because their gods can be manipulated. Their gods must obey them. Their gods must listen to them and do what is in the boss's best interest. And that is exactly what Pharaoh did. He called upon his magicians to wave their magic wands. He called to the gods of Egypt to protect them from the power and might of the only true and living God. And Pharaoh discovered that his gods were no match for Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The gods of your making will come tumbling down, dear friends, powerless to help or do anything to rescue you from the judgment of the living God if you live in disobedience to his word. And as I close, lastly, Master, your boss is watching. Every master has a greater master. And that master is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we do does not go unnoticed. And sometimes I look at myself, you know, and I think about others as well and experiences where people, you know, disregard service to the Lord. And they think that they're doing the pastor a favor, or they think they're doing a leader a favor, or they think they're doing, you know, and somehow their attitude is wrong. When work has to be done within the context of the surroundings, within serving people. We've got to get that right. Because we know that when we serve, we're not serving ourselves, nor are we serving people or other people, even though indirectly we are, but we are serving our master. Why? Because our reward is in heaven. So be content with who you are and what you can become as you submit to Christ. See, godliness, brothers and sisters, with contentment. I like that. Doesn't say godliness is great, is great gain. It's great to have godliness. But godliness with contentment. There are people who call themselves godly, but they're not content. And you see them running hither and thither. Running here and there. They're not content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And let us rest in the fact that we are accountable to our earthly bosses and our heavenly boss, who does not show favoritism. John Stott said this, and I'll read it from the screen for you. Every master, instead of regarding his relationship with his slaves as that of proprietor to chattels, or of superior to inferiors, he was to develop a relationship in which he gave the same treatment as he hoped to receive. Renounce the unfair weapons of threats and recall that he and they shared the same heavenly master and impartial judge. You know, one pastor was sharing his thoughts. He said, if God's people treat their boss like they treat God, they will be fired instantly. Did you hear that? If God's people treat their boss, coming to that servant relationship now, like they treat God, they will be fired instantly. And he used examples of punctuality, shirking in responsibilities given, and a whole list of other things that God's people don't take seriously. Imagine your boss gave you a task to do and you come there and you say, nah, I just forgot to do it. And you keep doing it. You think he's going to keep you? He'll say, lazy. He'll have a right to say you're lazy. Not like Pharaoh. All right? And so, this living boss, our master, or God, says Paul, does not live in temples built by human hands. He lives in every Christian heart who submits to his authority. And he calls us to repent from our sinful actions. And he calls us to obedience. He calls us to the best examples of extended grace. That is exactly what Paul exhorted Philemon to do with Onesimus when Onesimus stole from him and ran away. And he gets converted and Paul sends him back to his boss and the relationship blossoms. Show him grace so that he may learn to show others the same grace. Friends, if you are in a position of authority as a boss, then God calls us to meekness and humility. Employers and employees, secondly, are called to place God first and not their work or their profits. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does the Bible say? Then all things will be added to you. Let us pray. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, Paul is dealing with some very practical matters with respect to our life as employees and as employers. We are called to live under the constant watch that we have a great master in heaven who sees every single thing that we do. Dear Lord, we are at your mercy, not only as our heavenly boss, but as our sovereign Lord and Judge. Please help us to be impartial in our actions and speech. Oh God, there is a tendency in each one of us, Lord, to mistreat, abuse, and deal harshly with people who work for us, whether it's the gardener or whether it's the maid, whoever it may be. Please help us, especially if we are in a privileged position of a boss or master or director, that we act in accordance with your holy word. Help us to be meek and humble and follow the example of our Savior Jesus Christ, because it is in his name that we pray. Amen.